So, we're once again recording off of my phone because the snowball is a bitch. And as stated last time, and probably from the teaser you heard earlier this week, we're reading Empress Teresa by Norman Bouton, or Boutin, or something, 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 we don't know. This is... Google it, I would suggest. It's crazy. This guy is crazy. The way the book is formatted, literally, you open this cover... By the way, he drew, like, the picture, if you're on Spotify and you see the thumbnail for it.
It's horrifying.
He drew the cover. He drew the cover.
He's gonna, like, hunt us down. And...
Probably. But the way that this is formatted initially, it's already pretty weird. Because the first page, it's just the title with the author's name. And it's page one.
Because that's definitely not already on the front of the book.
Yeah, it's... We don't need that. And then the copyright and stuff is on, like, the other side of it. And it's like, that's...
Oh, is this by Norman Bouton? Is this Empress Teresa by Norman Bouton?
Yeah, and it says here, copyright 2010 Norman Bouton. Cover image by Norman Bouton. Boutin, or whatever you pronounce it. He gives a little thing. This book is a work of fiction. Any resemblance to actual persons or events is a coincidence. Now, very much like Handbook for Mortals, he gives us quotes, two of which are by characters in the book, which we have not been introduced to yet. So it's kind of more like how in Shark Boy and Lava Girl, we get a Lava Girl quote right at the beginning. It's like, we don't know who a Lava Girl is yet. We know she's a character.
We know she's the main character. She's one of the title characters, so I mean, I guess it makes a little bit more sense.
It makes a little sense, but it's like, we don't know this character yet, so it's kind of weird to, like, introduce this with a quote from a character we don't know.
Yeah.
Same thing happened in incident in a ghost land, where the quote given at the beginning of the movie is given by the main character about H.P. Lovecraft. And I'm just like...
I honestly, just from what you showed me in this book from Crimson Rogue, I don't even know what's happening anymore.
I don't get all of my book ideas from Crimson Rogue, just some of the, like, the very bad ones. just these. But the first quote, I'm very simple. I follow my conscience. I am what I do. If you think that's easy, try it for one day. Teresa Elizabeth Sullivan Hartley, the world empress. I mean, everyone kind of goes by their conscience. So, like, fuck you, Teresa. The next one. What is man that you are mindful of him, and a son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him little less than a god. Psalm 8:4-5. Bible quote. No idea why that pertains to the book. Doesn't sound like it pertains to the book. You can teach millions something more important. When the world falls apart around us, we look within ourselves and find ourselves. Show us what's within you. British Prime Minister to Teresa Hartley. Again.
Oh, fuck, I forgot. She's British, isn't she?
No, she's American.
Oh, fucking god damn it.
It gets revealed throughout the whole thing, but
thank you.
Again, we get a title drop, Empress Teresa, chapter 1, and it starts on page 3.
Is this Empress Teresa? I forgot.
Okay. And this is how our protagonist is introduced. This is how we're introduced to the book. Just hold on to your seats,
people. I had to strap in for this one. Buckle
up, buckaroos. I'm Teresa, the younger daughter of Edward and Elizabeth Sullivan. And I hope it's not bragging to say I was cute as heck at age 10. Everybody in the family said so. I was the princess in the Sullivan clan of Farmington, Massachusetts, because besides being cute, I was a whiz in school.
I'm okay.
Saya's already dying.
And had my coke got me.
Is it too spicy? drink some of your coffee.
I did. God. I haven't choked on my drink yet today, Maya. It's a very integral part of my day.
Empress Teresa made it happen. Okay. I was a whiz in school and had a good disposition. All the relatives expected great things from me.
What is a good disposition? Like, what does that even mean?
No fucking clue. Nobody could have dreamed of what I would do a few years later, and nobody would have believed it if they'd been told. Prime Minister Blair said I'd still be remembered in a million years. Did you catch that? Churchill, Hitler, and Lincoln? One of these things is not like the other. Not like the other. Which one is it? Will be footnotes in dusty history books 1,000 years from now, and nobody remembers Charles Martel, who saved Christianity in Europe by winning the Battle of Tours 1,300 years ago to set up the world as we know it today.
Who?
Exactly. But, again, it's kind of like...
Is this even a real person?
I think it is.
I think it is, too.
But it is a real person. I'm pretty sure it's a real person. But the thing is, this is a European matter, and you know what they don't do in American schools? Teach us about European history, especially the history of Christianity.
Yeah, because that's not allowed.
Yeah. What does it say on our good old friend Charlie Martel?
Okay, so... going to Wikipedia. Everybody leave me the hell alone.
I'll just keep reading.
Okay, hold on.
Are you there? Yes. You're there.
So he was born in 676 or 686. 688 or 690. That could really be anything.
Yeah.
He died age 50, 53, 55, or 65.
Those are a lot of different ages.
I don't think he's really, like, you know... Okay, so was it the wars of 732 and 737?
It was the Battle of Tours.
Battle of Tours.
That's probably...
Oh, it's right here. It's right here.
There we go.
I'm just blind. Aquitaine and Cross breaking the treaty with Duke Odo.
I think all I'm going to throw out there is don't mention... Okay, first off, if you're gonna mention,
this really just looks like a land war. I don't really understand what this is about. No,
I don't know. It was probably about something bitchy. But what I'm going to say is, if you're going to mention Churchill and Lincoln, don't put Hitler in that mix. Also, don't mention Charles Martel, because it will confuse the shit out of everyone, because...
It was an important battle during the Umayyad invasion of Gaul. It resulted in the victory for the Frankish and Aquitanian forces.
Okay, so invasion of France.
What is this about?
Don't mention Charles Martel unless you're going to give us a long and educated history about this, but that is not the book we are reading. Shut up.
There's so many loud cars over here lately.
Oh my god, it's because everyone has tiny dicks out here, I guess.
I know, okay. I think so.
Who saved Christianity in Europe? Oh my fucking god.
The Battle of Tours followed 2 decades of Umayyad conquests in Europe, which had begun with the invasion of the Christian Visigothic kingdom of the Iberian Peninsula.
Okay.
There's a lot going on in here.
Let's just keep reading.
Norman Bouton is anti-Islam.
Oh.
This was including a major engagement at Bordeaux and a raid on Autun. Charles's victory is widely believed to have stopped the northward advance of Umayyad forces from the Iberian Peninsula and to have prevented the Islamization of Western Europe.
I mean, considering how well Spain did under Islamic rule for those years, I don't think they had anything to worry about.
Yeah.
But Prime Minister Blair said, I'd be remembered for a million years. I don't fucking care. Mr. Blair is not inclined to exaggerating. I don't know who he is, so this doesn't mean anything to me.
No.
I was the last person you would expect to earn that accolade. I still don't know what this means. I was a nobody from nowhere. Clearly you weren't. When this story began, I was a little girl who didn't have much of a clue about anything. My job as a kid was to figure out what the heck was going on and what to do about it. It's not easy when you're young and everything is brand new. Gee, what are you, a fucking toddler still? My father once served a tour in the Navy.
Just one, though.
In the Navy. He said I had to be the captain of my ship, but sometimes the seas would be rough.
That is definitely what nobody in the Navy says.
No one says that in the
nobody
Navy.
Nobody says that in the Navy.
No one says that in the Navy. I had to learn all I could about the world. I wondered why should I be worrying about it in the fourth grade. I'd soon find out.
I can't even remember my life in the fourth grade, so I don't know how she's so cognizant.
All I can think of is, a monkey banging cymbals.
Right.
We're lost in this confusing world unless we follow the directions of its maker. I did. It's the only thing that got me through. Everybody has pressures. Pressure like a drip, 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 they'll never stop. Whoa. There are two kinds.
Is this everything so choppy? Everybody has pressures. There are two kinds.
There are two, yeah, sentence fragments everywhere. One is threats to your life and health. I feel like that's two separate ones.
I do feel like that is also two separate ones.
I had more than my share of that with 1,000 assassins wanting to get me.
1,000. Literally 1,000. Yeah.
The other kind is bearing responsibility for other people's lives and welfare. Those are, again, two. There's four types of pressure. There's a lot of different types of pressure, dudes.
Under pressure.
Boo boo doo doo. Under pressure. Pushing down on me. Pushing down on you. No matter small. That's really tough if you care about them. I set new world records in that department. People were sure I'd crack under the pressure. Again, surface pressure.
What are we talking about?
I don't know! But I didn't. It will take smarter heads than mine to figure out why not.
Oh my god, I'm Teresa. I'm so smart.
I'm so smart, and I don't have a mental illness.
I definitely don't have some form of God complex.
Oh, I don't.
I think I'm God. Literally, thousands of people have tried to assassinate me at the age of 10. That's 100 people per year. Oh no, wait.
Yeah.
A thousand.
1,000?
Yeah. That's literally 100 people per year since the age that she's
since
10.
The day she was born. I'll be telling my own story, which is a good thing because nobody knows it as well as me. You clearly don't. The drawback is that there are some things I can't know because I wasn't there. For example, Prime Minister Blair and President Stinson mentioned they talked to each other on the phone. They must have talked with many other heads of state, and it would be interesting to know what was... We know. Just, you don't have to explain this. It was a sure bet they discussed how to eliminate me if I got out of control, but I can't know any of that. It can be frustrating not knowing these things, but remember, you'll learn things in the same sequence I did.
Oh, for God's sake.
Quit explaining it
it's
like this.
It's literally like the same information, like, over and over and over and over and
oh
over.
Oh my god! It's my inner life!
It is.
Somebody else telling my story could only say what I did in the world. They couldn't get in my head like you will.
I don't want to be in your head.
I don't want to be in your head.
I'm forcibly here.
I'm not here by choice. I don't want to be here. I didn't want to be in Jenna's head. I don't want to be in your head. You'll see what a horrible worldwide mess I had to deal with that you created. My story began quietly with no hint of what was coming.
I definitely have to say, you know, that's really what I thought of when I was 10.
I'm going to popcorn to you because the chapter is long and we can't do chapter by chapter because the chapter is long.
I was home with my 17-year-old sister, Catherine, who was old enough to be my babysitter. Thank you.
I'm glad she is at age 17.
She made it possible for Mom to go back to her part-time job without leaving me alone. Don't you fucking go to school?
No.
Catherine hadn't been a whiz in school like me, and she was thinking of going to one of the many trade schools around Boston after high school. Mom and Dad said I should go to college.
You're only how old?
10.
She's only 10.
I think so, yeah.
She's only 10. Her sister's 7 years older than her. Shut up.
I feel like this is also one of those things, like, I'm going to college while my sister is going to trade school.
I eat my lobster like this.
I don't give a shit, Teresa. I'm gonna punch you straight in the fucking vagina. Oops. Before going on, I have to mention an odd incident that happened 6 months before I was born.
Oh my god!
Mom was raking leaves in the backyard when she noticed a fox sitting on its haunches 10 feet away.
Why was her dad making a pregnant woman rake leaves?
All right. It was staring at her. A metal rake is a good weapon against a creature as small as a fox.
Its dick was out.
And Mom held her ground. It was a skinwalker. Foxes are so cute.
They are.
What is this big space?
I don't know.
Is that in your book, too?
Yeah, I don't know what's up with all the... There are so many, like, big spaces.
It's not even, like, double.
It's just a big...
It's like eight.
It's like there was a big issue with formatting.
After 5 minutes, specifically, the fox walked away. This strange event seemed unimportant. My parents forgot about it for 18 years. 18 fucking years.
18 whole fucking years. My mom was never like, oh, there was this time that I saw a fox in our backyard. It was so cool. It had his dick out and it was standing up. I think it was a skinwalker.
It's actually your father. Okay. Now
oh my god, it's 12 children.
Now I can begin my story. Our house was next to a pond close to the river. A pond close to the river.
A pond close to the river, next to the sea, next to a lake.
Where all the neighborhood's kids spent many happy hours looking for turtles and frogs. I was lounging on the deck reading a book on the school summer list.
Because I'm not
smart.
I'm not like other kids. I don't like to get dirty and gross and play around with animals. I like to read on the deck.
And... on the summer reading list.
Yeah.
So I'm like extra fucking special.
Oh my god, she was totally that teacher's pet. She was the one that reminded the teacher of the homework she forgot she gave out.
Catherine was inside reading a magazine, because that's important. Taking a momentary break from the book, I noticed a red fox walking along the pond's edge.
It was walking on its hind legs. I didn't have a curtain to close.
It was unicycling. God!
It's Dat Boy, but fox.
It disappeared behind the little patch of woods, which Dad let grow wild, like most of the neighbors. This was very rare. Red foxes were never seen in broad daylight during the summer months. It didn't happen. It does, Teresa.
It does.
If you were so fucking smart, you would know that.
It does happen, especially if it's in a wooded area.
Then something really amazing happened. It came out of the woods and walked towards me.
It might be rabid. You might want to get away.
Me, because I'm special.
You might want to get away because it might be rabid.
It unicycled towards you.
It might be rabid. You might want to back away and go inside because, yes, foxes are cool, but they're also still wild animals. And if it's just approaching a human like that, it might be sick.
It might be sick. It might be... obviously, they can be domesticated to some extent.
Yeah, but it also might be a skinwalker.
Yeah, that too. And it's also on a unicycle, so...
So, yeah, it's concerning.
I kept still and waited to see how close it came before noticing me. It was 60 feet away.
How can she tell?
40, 20, she had a tape measure.
Oh my gosh, she just took out her tape measure. Yeah. It doesn't go out that far.
I know, it doesn't. By now it was clear, it was looking at me. I considered running into the house, but curiosity won out.
Oh my god, you're a fucking stupid child.
The fox reached the four steps of the deck. It came up the steps, stopped, and sat on its haunches, staring at me.
It unicycled up the steps.
It unicycled up the steps. That's how that works, right?
Yeah.
It did not seem vicious, so I waited. In an instant, faster than you could blink an eye, a softball-sized white ball emerged from the fox and went straight into my stomach.
Oh god, it really did have its dick out.
Mm-hmm. I screamed and ran into the house. The fox ran away. I slid the glass deck door closed. That was so many words.
You can just say glass door.
slid the sliding door.
Sliding glass door.
Yeah. And locked it. What was that scream for? Asked Catherine, who had walked into the kitchen. There was a fox out there. He won't hurt you, she said, and went back to the living room.
It wasn't Benjamin, that was for sure.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, Benjamin. This honestly feels like I'm reading something that, like, a fourth grader wrote.
Yeah, it does.
I stood at the glass door for 5 minutes, specifically, watching for anything else that might happen. At last, I thought it was all over.
Nope.
I went to the living room to sit down and think. What was that white thing?
Semen.
Yeah. I couldn't come up with any theory.
She was too young for that.
It was nothing I had ever seen on those television nature programs.
Her parents obviously didn't let her watch all of it. I mean, they are Catholic.
They are. Perhaps it was a daydream from not eating enough. Mom had warned me about that. At age 10, I was already conscious of my weight and tried to stay skinny. I should eat something. That's called an eating disorder,
that
Teresa.
That is called an eating disorder, Teresa.
I went into the kitchen to prepare an early lunch of fried eggs, one single strip of bacon, that's what it says, a strip of bacon, toast, and milk.
That sounds like brunch.
That's...
not lunch.
I gobbled all of this down in a couple minutes and soon felt better. It was too little eating, after all. Nothing had really happened.
That makes no sense.
No.
Also, she's just 10 years old and cooking a fried egg, bacon, all on her own. I mean, I could do eggs when I was, like, around that age, but yeah. Bacon?
Yeah, definitely not
bacon. Bacon's scary, okay? Because it sizzles and it spits at you.
It still scares me.
Bacon is scary.
Satisfied, I walked back into the living room to find something else to do. I turned on the television and watched the late morning talk shows for a while.
This child is fucking boring.
Oh my god. I heard fire trucks in the distance blaring their deep town sirens. These trucks could be heard from a mile away. I fucking measured. They were coming closer and closer. Soon the sound made it obvious they were in the vicinity of our street. My intuition told me this had something to do with the white thing that jumped at me.
It has nothing to do with the fox semen, okay?
Teresa, if you hear a fire truck, there's probably an emergency. That's all there is.
Also, the world doesn't revolve around you, dear. I mean, you're well past that age at age 10.
I went out the front door and waited on the lawn. The sirens were very close, and yes, there they were, turning into the street, a tanker truck and a small ladder truck. Are those two different things?
Maybe. I don't know anything about fire trucks.
Every time I see a fire truck, it's...
usually one.
Yeah, just the
it might depend on the town or the township. I don't know. Unless, like, he's thinking about oldie times.
Maybe.
And I don't know. Because that sounds like something that would be a thing in, like, the 50s.
It sure does. The two vehicles went halfway down the street and stopped. Already people were coming out of houses to watch the excitement. The excitement! Somebody's house is on fire!
Someone's house is on fire, potentially, but we haven't heard anything about a fire.
Why the hell does everybody act like my fucking grandparents do every time a new car enters the neighborhood? They're like, oh my god, a fire truck! It's time to go outside and watch it! Even though our neighbor's house can be burning down! Oh my god, this will make such good gossip!
Well, I think Norman Boutelin is, like, the same age as your grandparents, almost. Okay, fair enough. So.
The yellow fire engines. I've never seen a yellow fire engine.
Well, he's from Canada.
Okay, that's fair.
I can't Google it because we're using my phone.
That sent out... do you know my passcode?
Can you type it in? I have to look this up now because I think that's a Canadian thing, but this is supposed to take place in Massachusetts.
Oh, I already started typing it in. Sorry, Brian.
Keep reading.
The yellow fire engines had loudspeakers that sent out vocal messages loud enough to rattle windows. Jesus. A conversation was going on between the firemen and the station. God, this book is already trying me. What do you have? 115 degrees here, a fireman shouted. It's 70 here. Yep, we have something.
It's yellow in some places. It depends on the area, I suppose.
A crowd of neighbors was gathering near the confused firemen. Don't go near them. That's like...
Please don't.
I walked over to join the onlookers. What's going on? I asked one of my girlfriends. They're looking for a fire. No shit!
Teresa, you have a girlfriend?
Oh, Matt.
Oh, you're only 10. And you're a Catholic. Oh, geez.
The girl's father said, the temperature jumped up in a few minutes. Somebody called the fire department.
Hey, that's just called Minnesota.
What temperature? The temperature outside?
I think. I don't know. In the area, in a specific spot. I was just gonna say, this is just Minnesota. 60 degrees in the morning.
Oh, yeah, and this then is just 30, Minnesota.
And then negative 10 at night.
That's somebody called the fire department because it's hot outside.
Yeah.
What in the goddamn old person nonsense is this?
No one called the fire department, though.
It was hot. It was nice a little while ago. I thought it over. A fox appears in daylight, which never happens, except it does, Teresa. Can you stop giving us false information?
Well, I mean, she's an unreliable narrator at this point.
It comes up practically to my feet. The white thing jumps into me.
Fox semen.
And the firemen look for a fire that doesn't exist.
Then who? How do they know about? Then how? Then who? What? Then what? How? When? Who? What? How? What? 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 Is happening?
All this happened within an hour. There had to be a connection.
Fuck that shit.
A connection! This is the wildest grab bag of shit. God. Before long, the fire chief arrived in his yellow sedan. A fucking sedan! Oh, God.
I'm just picturing neon yellow.
Oh, right? It's like a taxi, it's but so not.
Gross. It's a gross color.
Yeah. He asked the lead fireman if anything had been found.
Clearly not!
They walked over somebody's property to look at the pond. Nothing there. Oh, what do you mean the pond's not on fire?
Smoke on the water.
Could it be a ground fire? The fireman asked the chief. Not likely with water over there unless there's a rock ledge underneath. We have to check it out.
You know what? It's a volcanic eruption,
yeah.
Volcanic fissure.
Thermistor probes were brought from the station. Is that what they're called?
I guess. I don't know. I don't know anything about this shit, okay? I'm not an expert, but I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Because I'm confused.
And firemen spent the rest of the morning pushing the probes a few inches into the ground to check the temperature. They did this on everyone's lawn. The area inside the turnaround at the end of the street. Are they talking about the cul-de-sac? And finally went into people's backyards. They found nothing.
Did they tell anyone what was going on? Because I think they kind of have to.
Around 1 o'clock, specifically, the temperature in our neighborhood had dropped back down to 80 degrees. The firemen gave up and left.
Makes me think of, like, alien abduction shit. Except there'd be radiation.
I was young and inexperienced, but I wasn't a dumbbell. Clearly you are. If people found out what happened today, they'd pester me about it forever. My cousin Mary was diagnosed a schizophrenic. I think you are, Teresa. And the whole Sullivan clan was biting their nails, waiting for the gene to show up in some other family member. It wasn't going to be me. That's not how genetics works, Teresa.
That's not
Teresa.
How it works.
I resolved to never tell anybody. Not even my parents would know. They'd think I was ill, like Cousin Mary. I didn't need it. Popcorn Maya.
Let me just because you've had experience with getting diagnosed and stuff, got it wrong, but like, that's not how getting diagnosed for schizophrenia works. Mm-mm. And for someone who's 10 and you're this conscious about that, like, I know some kids can be like, oh my god, my parents are going to think I'm crazy if I tell them this.
Yeah.
You can have it at that. You don't have to go specifically into schizophrenia. Then I don't think your family would tell you about your cousin with schizophrenia.
Unless they're trying to make an example out of said cousin, which has happened to me. Where it's like, see, if you don't take care of yourself, you're going to end up like Zaya, who's like this, who doesn't have a job, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's what we call toxic. Yeah. And it just sounds like the Sullivan family is toxic. Yeah. They sound very toxic. 2 days later, I woke up early and walked into the living room.
Thank you.
She fell asleep for 2 whole days.
Yeah, she did.
Mom was looking intently out the window. What's going on? I asked. There's some men parked down next to the turnaround.
Cul-de-sac.
They've been there all night. They suck at hiding. I looked around. I looked, and sure enough, a van and a four-door sedan were parked in the turnaround where they could see every house on the street.
Wow.
Way to blend in.
Way to blend in, everybody. You're doing a great job. I hope you don't work for the FBI.
Mrs. Gagnon. Gagnon? Gagnon? Gagnon?
Gagging on this dick.
Said a police car stopped to talk to them at 2 a.m. Wait, what is this woman doing up at 2 a.m.? Oh, she's bidding farewell to her lover as he leaves in the dead of night before her husband can come home from his late night shift. She's like, damn.
I was just so busy gagging on this dick.
This dick.
That I was up all night. That's why they called me Mrs. Gagnon.
They showed IDs, and a little later the police left. Dad woke up and heard the same story. As Mom and Dad got ready for work, another police car came around the street but left without stopping. Other people left for work. The morning wore on. The mail truck came by at 10. I walked out to get the mail while Catherine was in her room, because she's lazy. She's not as smart as I am, because I'm the smartest in this whole house. Even smarter than my mom and dad. I'm
just
so smart.
I didn't get the mail.
2 minutes after I got back in the house, the car and van drove away. They had spotted me. How did they know about me?
Are you kidding me?
My fucking God. I sat on the sofa thinking for a while. I felt I was being watched. Or was somebody listening? I spotted the phone. Was somebody listening on the phone?
You know what that sounds like, Teresa? Schizophrenia.
I dialed 0 for the operator. Operator, how may I help you? Can I have the number for Alice Pizza in Farmingham?
Framingham.
Also, Alice Pizza.
I don't want to.
1 moment, please. 10 seconds later, another woman said, Alice Pizza, 555-8402. Thanks. I hung up, so they weren't listening.
How did...
I don't know. The weekend arrived. She sounds like she has she sounds paranoid. The weekend arrived. Mom and I went to Boston to shop in the Washington Street shopping district. We drove down the Boston Commons and underground parking garage.
Thank you.
I thought I saw some car come in right behind us and park close to our car.
Oh my god, you mean like what actually also happens in parking garage? Shut the fuck up.
Again, she's sounding very paranoid. We got up to the surface and a man followed us. We went to the Barnes & Noble bookstore first because if we bought something, it would be small and easy to carry for the rest of the day. Oh my god, I don't care. I looked through the books on sale and thought I saw a different man watching me. Barnes & Noble had 2 floors. I'm going upstairs, Mom, I said. There was an escalator to the 2nd floor. I went along the wall, stopping now and then pretending to look at books, and that same man from downstairs always seemed to be close to me. He was spying on me. I also bought a whole entire set of encyclopedias.
Because I'm so smart.
I'm so smart. It was not light enough to carry at all. My mom carried it for me on her back because she's a pack mule and a pushover. My parents do anything for me, and they think I am just the best child they have ever had. They often forget about my sister.
My mom lets me walk anywhere with this man obviously following me because she's such a good mother.
Yeah, she didn't even notice. Later, we went to McDonald's, and I spotted another man who walked behind us into the restaurant. She didn't even get a Happy Meal. She got, like, a... She asked for a Whopper, and they were like, we don't sell Whoppers here. Teresa was, like, angry, and she's like, no, I want a Whopper! I want to talk to your manager!
She asked for something calorie conscious, even though they went to McDonald's.
She got
water.
She got water. She got water, and like she got like four chicken nuggies with apple slices.
She got salad with no dressing.
But the salads there are still, like, super heavily calories.
I know. She took out everything with the calories.
She just got lettuce.
Yeah, she just got lettuce. She got water. She got lettuce. Maybe a little bit of tomato for, you know, a little pizzazz.
But the tomato there sucks. Vegetables at fast food places suck.
I know. That's why she got it.
Because she sucks. Also, this is just an entire example of men writing women.
At least the ones, like, on the internet are way funnier. Like, this is just annoying.
Oh, God. This is boring. But he was there as long as we were in... You know, she didn't even go to the play place.
No.
Because it smelled like pee, and she was like, this is so beneath me.
This is so beneath me, because these children are Neanderthals.
They don't know anything like I do. I'm so smart. I know how to count all the way up to 1,000.
Because that's how many people have tried to murder me. God.
God. He was there as long as we were, and after we left, I looked back, and he was coming out, too, with his dick out. It's a normal occurrence at McDonald's, okay? It
sure is.
Another buddy stopped at a corner. Another man standing on the corner started walking in our direction. We got back home, and Mom took things into the bedroom. I dialed the operator again. Operator, how may I help you? Can you give me the number for Alice Pizza in Framingham. I hate that. I hate the name of this township. I hate the name of this. Oh, boy. Framingham. One moment, please. I waited and waited and waited. A full minute passed by, and she hadn't come up with the number yet. I hung up the phone. Now they knew I knew. I don't understand this. I don't understand this.
If you've ever wondered what it's like to be mentally ill,
this
will turn you into that, but this is how they frame people who are mentally ill. This is just fucking stupid. This is awful.
It is. While I was young, I had some feeble ideas of what this all meant. My life wasn't going to be like that of other kids. Because I'm not like other kids or other girls. I had to think like somebody important, somebody with responsibilities. Because I am such an adult at age 10. My parents gave me a sip of wine on New Year's.
I got the salad at McDonald's. I'm not a kid anymore.
I'm not a child. I don't want your Lilo and Stitch toy. I want your Lilo and Stitch toy. Give it to me or else I will bash your head into this door.
Oh, right? I want the Lilo and Stitch toy.
God damn. I was something special. Maybe I was me.
I was special.
I'm so special.
Me.
Oh God, I'm gonna pee myself. I'm just gonna pee myself. God.
This is so terrible. horrible.
Oh, God.
Why did you pick this? I'm only on page 11, and it feels like I've been reading this for
forever. We've been reading it for almost 40 minutes! Maybe I was dangerous, or that was what the government was thinking. Someday they would come around and talk to me. I wasn't stupid enough to think they would just watch me for the rest of my life. 2 days later, again, I woke up because I was asleep for 2 days straight, because that's how I, like, function. I have to sleep for 2 days straight. Mom took me to a nearby strip mall because she's a stripper there. That's her part-time job, daytime stripper. There was a DVD movie rental store. How old is this? What year is this? I looked around for the classic movie 2001 A Space Odyssey because I'm not like other children.
I'm not like other children. I can understand all the cinematic accomplishments of 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Stanley Kubrick is my hero, and I am going to marry him even if he is dead. I'm going to drag up his corpse and I'm going to reanimate it, and then I'm going to marry him.
Stanley Kubrick gives a great metaphorical representation of the moon landing and, like, other government conspiracies. Shut the fuck up, you're 10.
I just absolutely loved how he framed that one shot of Jack Nicholson in The Shining with him holding that can of beans with the Native American symbol on it to symbolize the whatever and whatever from that one documentary. That was some deep level shit, bro.
It's almost like we're film people.
They'd shown it on television 2 months earlier. I played and replayed the parts of the movie where the astronauts talk to Hal. The most chilling scene was when astronaut Dave Bowman left the spaceship in a pod to retrieve the body of his dead astronaut partner drifting through space. When he flew back to the spaceship, he said one of Hollywood's most famous lines, "Open the pod bay doors, Hal." That is not a famous line.
That is not a famous line
from this movie. You know what the famous line from this movie is?
What is it, Maya?
"I can't let you do that, Dave."
Yep.
Yeah. That's the one that people will quote if they quote this movie. That is not...
I don't think I've ever even paid attention to that line.
Oh, God. Okay. And the other, like, famous line from Hollywood is when Norma Desmond's like, "I'm ready for my close-up, Mr." Mm-hmm. What was the name of the director?
I can't remember the name of the director.
I can't remember, but I'm ready for my close-up. Not the bees! Any Nick Cage line, honestly. You know who would know a lot of lines?
Who?
Sam.
Right?
Yeah. He would say them a lot. That just came to mind.
I know I can't say this, but I was just about to drag him on this podcast, but I'm going to be nice.
Don't do it.
I say as I stare at the phone. Sai is going to be nice.
Attempt. Oh, God.
So that way, if he ever listens to it, he can know that I was nice.
But the spaceship's computer, Hal, wouldn't open the door. It was a creepy scene. Well, yeah. The summer days rolled by. I saw the Watchers following me everywhere. You know, there's actually a cryptid, or, like, there is a thing called the Watchers in the Woods.
Yeah.
They watch you in the woods.
No way.
Yeah. Mom did most of her grocery shopping on Saturday, and I usually went with her because Catherine wandered off with her friends to do whatever it is that Neanderthalic teenagers did. Like, you know, kiss boys and, like, you know, smoke drugs and drink soda and drive fast cars. But not me, because I'm an adult at age 10.
I go to the grocery store and I buy quinoa.
I get to hold on to the list, and I buy kale every morning because I eat it all the time. My shits are the best. Oh, my God. God. 44 minutes and we're just dragging.
God.
While mom was talking to the meat counter clerk, I went down the breakfast cereal aisle to choose something. She totally chose Raisin Bran.
She got the plain check square.
I was gonna say, no, Raisin Bran, because she needs that fiber.
Whatever cereal Nate has, she got that.
You know what? If Teresa were a spice, she'd be flour.
Teresa were a spice, she'd be none, because spice is bad for your health.
She doesn't even put anything on her burgers.
No.
It's just, she doesn't, she gets, like, that one where it's, like, X amount lean and, like, little fat or whatever.
She doesn't eat meat-based products because they are, first off, far too many calories for her 10-year-old brain, and... Obviously, being so adult, you obviously know you have to, like, eat only plant-based items because it's definitely going to, like, I don't know, do something with the environment.
She preaches about the evils of sugar and soda.
She's the type of person who gets a tattoo to tell everyone that she's vegan.
She wouldn't get a tattoo, though.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She's fucking Catholic.
Should get a shirt that says it and wear it all the time.
It'd have to be 100% cotton, though.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Hi, Teresa. Some random woman I didn't know was standing next to me. She looked to be in her early 20s and had a friendly smile. Hi, I said with a young kid's tenacity. I did not know the very idea of stranger danger. Do you have a cell phone? Yeah. Call me when you're alone. She handed me a piece of paper with a phone number! Stranger danger, I need an adult! But I am an adult, says Teresa. I'm so an adult, I will call her on my own.
On my own cell phone.
Because they get, well, I, no wait, I didn't have a cell phone until I was like 13.
I didn't have a cell phone until I was 17.
I had one because emergencies and shit, yeah. The woman knew that I knew about my watchers. I had often stared at them, right in their faces. So this woman also knew I had to think she was one of them, and I had to be curious enough to talk to her. When we got back home, I went to my room and called the number. Oh my God. My curiosity about the watchers overcame my wish to keep Hal secret. I wanted to know how they knew about me. The woman answered her spy... Her spies must have told her I was home. Hi, said the cheerful woman. I'm Jane Struthers from the United States government.
The United States government.
So ambiguous. Are you alone? Yeah, are you? You know I'm not. There are 20 people with me in this room.
20.
Can we talk? My childhood was over. All I wanted was an ordinary life like everybody else. It looked like I wouldn't get it. About what? About your little secret. We know it. I thought about that. Everybody had secrets. Talking to this woman wouldn't be admitting mine. Something happened to you to make those fire trucks come to this neighborhood. You were giving off a lot of heat. We know you were because we saw it all around you. What happened before the fire trucks came? I don't have to tell you anything, do I? Jane Struthers maintained her friendly attitude. No, you don't. But it will make things a lot easier if you tell us something. We are not going away. We will be spying on you from now on. We have to. Whatever happened is very important. Dear God, this is terrifying. You don't know anything that happened? We know a lot. Something from outer space came to Earth 7 years ago.
Seven?
I thought she was 10.
I know.
We've been looking for it ever since. That heat you were giving off has to have something to do with that thing from outer space. I considered that. Jane Struthers gave me a moment and then brought out a point. That is so weird. There is nothing natural to Earth that could have caused that heat. The thing from space did it. We watched you rent the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Thank you.
You are aware of that thing. What happened before the fire trucks came? There was no use denying something happened. They already knew. I saw a fox walking towards me on its hind legs, well, unicycling towards me, on its hind legs with its dick out near the water. It came up close to me, and a white thing jumped out of it. That's all. Where did the white thing go? In me? How big was this white thing? No! Like a softball.
I'm leaving it alone.
Did it come from the fox? Yep, came right out. What part of the fox? Its penis? How did it jump out at you? It moved in my stomach. I wasn't very enthusiastic about telling the story. Jane Struthers had to force it out of me one tiny piece at a time. God, this dialogue is so boring, and it'd be boring if I just said it as it is, but...
You know?
How long did that take? Like that. I snapped my fingers at the phone. Did you feel anything? Nope. Did the white ball look like a steel ball? No, like fuzzy, like cotton. What happened then? I ran into the house and waited. Then I ate breakfast. I made it myself. My sister can't do shit. Because I'm the golden child. I am the best person in this house. I do everything around here.
So smart.
I'm so smart. My mom lets me do my own laundry. I thought I was going crazy. How long after the white ball jumped at you did the fire trucks come?
Half an hour.
Did the white thing change you in any way? Did you feel anything? No? Does it make sounds or talk to you? Do you hear a voice in your head that is not your own? Are your thoughts your own? Are you even talking to me right now, Teresa?
Honestly, this is kind of freaking me out.
No! Have you seen it again?
No, it's like it went away.
How have you been eating lately?
Like I always do?
Jan took a break to think what else she could ask. She should ask. This was the most important interview since Moses came down the mountain.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, and the way I'm fucking phrasing it.
Honestly.
God complex. Would you be willing to come in to talk to some people and figure out what this thing is? Are you afraid of sharp instruments? Are you afraid of bright lights? Do you understand what it means when I say that wheat and wheat byproducts are illegal in the township of Nightvale?
I was hoping you'd make a Nightvale reference in there somewhere.
There'll probably be more. I didn't do anything. All right. She dropped that line immediately. You rented 2001, A Space Odyssey. What did it show you?
It showed me don't talk to this thing. It's like talking to the devil.
Do you have a name for it?
Hell.
Like the computer. The monolith was the alien, not the computer.
The monolith didn't talk.
Does Hal talk?
No.
It's a good idea to try to talk to it. It's a good idea not to try to talk to it. Don't stir it up. When you hear it, don't respond. If you hear it calling your name, don't respond. Hide under your bed. If you respond, it is allowed to come in. Don't let it come in.
I'm gonna beat it out with a broom. Get the fuck out of here, you little fuckhead.
She just beats her head with a broom. What is Hal? We don't know. We saw it 7 years ago, but haven't seen or heard about it since. You're the only one who's seen it. We would like to have those memories, but we don't have the technology yet. Maybe someday. Maybe if you came in for a checkup one of these days, I could introduce you to one of my doctor friends. He is very, very good at the human brain thing. Mm. Yes, he knows all about human brains and how squishy and gelatinous they are, and how easy memories can be manipulated. Now, if you just keep your eyes wide open, I have a nice pointy thing right here, and I just have to insert it into the corner of your eye, and into your frontal lobe. Doesn't that sound amazing, Teresa? Does it come from space? Probably, but that may not be bad. This thing may never do anything. It would be worse if it came from the sea, for we all know what is in the sea. The great sleeping god Cthulhu in his town of Raleigh slumbers within the sea. If this is at all related to Cthulhu, we must destroy you in an instant. Because if Cthulhu awakens, the world will end. Yeah, I'm just going unhinged here.
I know. I kind of like it. It's making the story much more interesting.
Look, guys, I need to make this interesting for some of us. I think that covers everything. I have to emphasize how important it is to tell nobody about this. Don't give a hint to anybody. If you talk to somebody, they will too, and you will never be able to live the life you want. No college, no job, no marriage, no friends. You'll have to stay at home all the time. Or we can ask our agents to pick you up and take you to a special facility and give you a nice hug jacket and put you in a wonderfully padded room with no windows, where you can live out the rest of your days while talking to the strange voice in your head, while we decide whether if this thing is from outer space or from deep in the sea. But then again, if it comes from outer space, it might be related to the color outer space. And yeah, that's not a good idea either. A lot of people are trying to keep this secret.
What if one of my watchers talks?
Most of our people don't know why they're watching you. Only the people at the top know. We've told them all very different things. Some of them think you have a weird twin hiding underneath your stomach. A lot of people think you might have a third eye in the back of your head.
And then some people also think you might be the reincarnation of, try to think of that one person's name. I don't know, he was really prevalent in World War II. He was German. He had a lot of radicalized ideas. That name keeps slipping me because it's just another name in the dusty old history books.
Yeah. Never learned about him ever.
Never. Not at all. Or the atrocities he committed.
We're awful.
I know.
One of the few people who knows you give off heat without knowing that nobody...
Wait, everyone gives off heat.
Everyone
does. Without knowing that nobody can prove you have anything to do with Hal. That's the biggest secret. Without knowing about the heat, they can't spot you or suspect anything. Now don't tell your parents that you contacted a stranger.
Okay,
this
groomer.
This is our secret.
Don't those 20 people know about me?
Very good, Teresa. I'm impressed. These people are top-ranking officials from the Defense Intelligence Agency. You or watchers are people hired from outside. They know nothing. One of them, or a few of them, are just homeless people we gave a sandwich to.
Can I tell my parents about this?
What did I just fucking say? No, but really, that's all up to you. But remember, if you can't keep it a secret, why should your parents? Your mother will want to share it with Aunt Jessica. Then Aunt Jessica will want to share it with Uncle John. And before you know it, 10,000 reporters will be parked in front of your house for the rest of your little worthless life.
Not if Hal never does anything.
All the more so. It's anticipating something that hasn't happened yet. That interests people.
A break in the conversation let me absorb this new this new idea. This was heavy stuff for a 10-year-old to think about, Popcorn Zaya.
Something else had made me wonder. Why is the operator one of you guys? You might ask the operator to connect you to somebody, maybe somebody outside the country. We need to know who it is. It's for your protection.
After all, if you make a call outside of the country, it's not like your parents will ask questions about it because those things cost so much money. Oh, I malfunctioned there.
How can I give off heat without burning up? Hold on. There was a moment of silence. I had stumped her. Teresa, we think Hale is...
Hale.
I failed.
Yeah, I'm just adjusting my position real quick.
Teresa, we think Hale is doing a lot of things around you, but not inside of you, thank God.
Oh my God, no alien babies at least.
It's like you're in a party. A lot of people are dancing around you, but they're not making you dance like a marionette.
On strings, because that's all you are to us, a marionette on strings.
Guys, I think we have to rewire Jan. She's being weird.
That sounded reasonable. Okay. Well, I'll leave you alone now. Thanks for talking with me. Call me anytime you have questions. She hung up. I'll bet the 20 people cheered her for doing a good job.
Oh my God.
There it was. They tapped the phone and watched me all the time. You called them.
You called them. And also, how do we know this conversation even happened? Also, she doesn't know what other people are doing, but she's assuming they all were like, oh yeah, fist bump. Oh yeah, let me take out my dick.
Everybody broke out like the red solo cups after.
Yeah. Jan did a keg stand.
Jan did a keg stand and everybody, like, did a bunch of yag bombs off her boobs.
Someone brought out the cocaine. They snorted it off of Jan's flat ass. She was the only woman in that room.
Yes. And they knew I was being watched. But I said nothing to Mom and Dad. What must the spies be thinking about that? In a moment, I realized Jan Struthers hadn't asked me if I'd told anybody besides my parents the secret. They knew I hadn't. How did they know that?
They've been watching
you. That was
you.
Truly one of the most confusing sentences I have ever read in my life.
Right?
It didn't make any sense.
This is so fucking confusing.
One day, I woke up at 6:30 a.m.
After her solid 2 days of sleep, yes. Because that's how long it takes for her to recharge.
Tumbled out of bed and changed to jeans and sweatshirt before my groggy eyes cleared and I noticed an orange spot in the middle of my field of view. It was right there, in the exact middle, no matter where I looked. I hadn't noticed immediately because it was small. It was like an orange golf ball at 40 feet. Specifically, I measured it with my tape measure.
Even though it doesn't stretch out to 40 feet, I just guessed it was 40 feet because I'm so special and I'm so smart.
I put on shoes and walked to the living room. The orange spot was always there. Don't wear shoes in the house.
She's wearing clown shoes.
I know. I went out to the backyard. Likewise, the little orange ball was always there, even when I looked up at the sky. Hale must have had something to do with it. What is this for? I whispered. A few days later, wow, that was
quick. Again, she had to recharge for 2 days.
I was working in the tiny garden I kept in the backyard because I'm so good at adult things.
Yep.
I liked to grow pumpkins, which were fairly easy to grow, and would grow 8 plants a year in the small plot. The plants now had vines 3 feet long with little 1-inch pumpkins. I measured.
Hold on. I've accidentally grown pumpkins before. I don't know which month it is, but they usually tend to, like, pumpkinize more, kind of, like, at the very end of summer.
Pumpkinize?
You know, the little bulb of pumpkin? Yeah.
I just like the word.
Yep.
They would expand rapidly in the next month until they reached 8 or 10 inches in diameter in September. I was pulling up the annoying weeds that kept sprouting up all the time. The worst was that prickly weed, whose name I didn't know, that would grow something 3 feet tall if you let it. I used a hand spade to dig one of the prickly weeds up by the roots and felt a rock. I brought up the 3-inch wide flat rock and threw it at a gallon water sprinkler can 10 feet away. The rock hit the can dead center. I hadn't even tried to do that. I found another rock and threw it at the can. It, too, hit the can.
Oh, my God, you're throwing rocks.
I got the rocks and walked 15 away from the can.
Typo, spelling error, grammar error, error.
I threw the rocks while keeping the orange dot in my eye field on the can.
Yep.
My eye field.
My eye field.
The rocks hit the can again. I got the rocks once more and walked 50 feet away.
Again, I took out my tape measurer and measured it exactly.
Nobody could hit the can from this distance. I threw. The rocks hit the can. So that's what the orange dot was for. It was an aiming device.
Okay, so even if it's an aiming device, it just aims it. She still needs the strength in order
to... she still needs the force.
The force. I don't think she can generate the force to do that.
A 10? No. It got the rocks to whatever I was looking at. Interesting, but I couldn't see any use for it. 2 days later, I saw 10-year-old Tommy Kearns walking back from the nearby convenience store.
Will Tommy show up again? Probably not.
No. I sometimes saw him throwing a baseball with another boy. Going to Tommy's house, Mom. Okay, dear. Tommy's house was 4 homes down the street.
I counted exactly.
Yes. I even broke it down.
Yeah.
Into feet, inches, centimeters.
Millimeters. Light years.
I knocked on the Kearns' door. The mother answered, "Hi, is Tommy here?" The mother found Tommy and told him Teresa was visiting. Tommy came to the door.
The mom does not get a name.
No, just the mom.
Tommy gets a name, but the mom does not.
Hi, Teresa. Hi. You want to pass the ball?
It's called Want to Play Catch.
You know what? This sounds like the exchanges in the room.
Oh, God, it does. Oh, my God. Teresa's Tommy Wiseau. And then Tommy's Denny.
Hi, Denny.
Oh, hi, Denny.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Teresa. Oh, hi, Tommy.
Sure, I'll get it. He retrieved a baseball and 2 baseball gloves, and we went to the street. We stood roughly 15 feet apart.
Again, I measured it. I made him like stand 15 feet away from me because I can't stand any closer to a boy or else I'll get pregnant. That's what Mom said.
And passed the ball back and forth. I backed up to 20 feet, and we continued passing. I was getting the ball straight to Tommy's chest.
Ooh.
He was not doing as well. I had to take a step or two to the side to catch the ball. Tommy stood in place. Hey, you're good, Tommy exclaimed. How do you do that?
I am natural.
I'm natural, I said. I backed up to 30 feet. It went the same way. I hit Tommy dead on while Tommy's aim was typical for a 10-year-old. Bad.
Hey, not all 10-year-olds are bad. Also, you still have to generate enough force in order to, like, you can aim it in his direction, but you still have to generate enough strength to actually throw it.
She's not like other girls, Maya.
Oh, my God.
Tommy's father came out and walked to Tommy. Can I take over, son? Tommy was glad to be relieved. The father smiled and asked, Ready? Yeah, I said.
You know what, Tommy? You can just say I don't want to play anymore and just go back inside.
In all honesty, like, why is this random neighborhood dad that she has, like, no fucking...
It's Tommy's dad.
Yeah, I know, but...
He's gonna say, like, watch how a man does it, Tommy.
We tossed back and forth. Tommy's father had an accurate aim.
I just thought of something funny. Tommy's dad is just kind of like a schoolyard bully. In the sense of, like, I fucked your mom last
night. Yes.
And Tommy's just like, Dad, I know, I heard you. These walls are thin.
I didn't have to sidestep to catch the ball. After a few throws, Tommy's father backed up to around 40 feet. No 10-year-old could throw accurately at this distance, he must have thought. We tossed the ball. I invariably got the ball straight to Tommy's father. This went on for another 10 minutes specifically. Other people had been coming out to watch because this neighborhood is so boring.
It's so fucking boring here. It's so boring they didn't even pay attention to the two-headed baby calf that had been born down the street.
At last, the father noticed that I was getting tired. This was August, and it was very hot. Let's call it quits, Teresa, the father said. It's getting hot.
Yes, thank you for stating the obvious.
Okay. I went aside to talk to Tommy. Several adults came up to Tommy's father. One of them asked him, How good is she? She's incredible. Someday she might pitch for the Red Sox.
Well, fuck you.
Of course, Maya.
Of course. August rolled on. It was a week before I was to begin the fifth grade. Oh my god, I asked if I could skip to, like, eighth grade, but they wouldn't let me. They said it was, like, it would be too weird. It'd be too weird because I was smart, but I wasn't emotionally mature enough because I kept talking about how smart and awesome I was. We're not going to talk about that. That was, like, one of the worst parent-teacher conferences ever. And I could think of little else. Most kids said they hated school. I loved it. It was there that I met all my friends who were scattered all over town in the summer. There that the girls invited each other to each other's houses, each other's homes. Okay. I didn't hate school for certain. Like, I hated school, but I didn't hate school.
Yeah.
But I liked to learn, but I don't like school in that sense. It was a working day for my parents, and Catherine had eaten something. What? Does Catherine not get to eat? Do they just keep her in a room? Do they keep her in the basement and throw scraps at her? Does she only get to eat when they're not home?
Honestly, that was like the same inflection at the same time.
Oh, God. I began throwing together lunch for myself. Mom had bought steaks. There was a new bottle of steak sauce. I tried to open it, but it was tight. The trouble with these steak bottles was the cap was so narrow. There was no leverage to twist it. I tried harder. No wonder little old lady starved to death.
Because they can't get the steak sauce open?
Because they eat nothing but steak sauce. They eat nothing that is their. They can't eat anything solid. And steak sauce apparently has all the nutrients they need to stay alive. A little more effort and the bottle broke. Steak sauce spilled on the counter. A steak sauce bottle had practically thick glass and should be unbreakable.
They're actually really easy to break, Teresa.
Yeah. I cleaned up the mess and put away the rest of the food. I wanted to think, how had I broken the thick glass bottle with not even a strong man could have done? Did I have a lot of strength?
We get it, Teresa. You don't need a man.
We get it, Teresa. Hal probably did something to you, and that's how you were able to generate enough force to, like, throw the ball at these people, and they didn't question it. I would question it, because, like, that's a lot of strength for a 10-year-old. It's just a lot of strength for a kid.
I don't think people realize how easy it is to break a bottle when you're trying to open it.
Yeah. The living room sofa was the heaviest piece of furniture in the house. I lifted one end of it easily. But so did Dad. How could I tell how strong I was? I went to the basement and looked around. Like many people, we Sullivans kept lots of junk we never used. Aw, kitty cat.
Marco.
Marco. I rummaged around and found two complete sets of old Holon horseshoes. Grabbed a horseshoe with both hands and tried to twist it. At first, it didn't change, but as I applied more force, Hal seemed to get the idea. The horseshoes bent easily. Gasp. The next morning, I approached Mom, because she slept the rest of the day because she had to recharge from all that shock. I want to see Father Richard. She spun her hand around in surprise. What about? Oh my God, did you stand more than like 10 feet within a boy's radius? Oh my God, are you pregnant?
You had sex.
No. You had sex. Did you hold another boy's hand? Oh my God, my baby's a whore.
Did you look at a boy without three Hail Marys?
Oh my God, we're terrible, but...
I'm sorry.
It doesn't make anything better when she says, I can't tell you. Honey, you can tell me anything. Maybe I can help. I can't tell you. That's not a warning sign.
Not at all.
Especially if she's asking to see a Catholic priest.
Well...
I know not all of them do this, but it's still like...
Well, we just already know it's not going to be a problem because Teresa's a girl. Sorry. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Mom was worried. Something serious must be going on, but even at age 10, I had certain rights to privacy.
Really?
To a degree, but at the same time, it's like, you should...
I have certain rights to privacy because I'm so adult.
I'm such an adult. I do my own taxes. Teresa, do you even know what taxes are? Yes? Yeah. I know what they are. Okay, do them. Like right now? Yes. No, fuck you. I have rights to my own privacy, so fuck you. All right, dear, I'll drive you. On the way through the living room, I picked up a burlap shopping bag used by environmentally conscious people who didn't want paper or plastic.
Because I'm so adult, I use environmentally conscious burlap bags.
I don't use burlap.
I'm allergic to burlap.
You're allergic to a lot of things.
I know I am. So
you're allergic to horses. You're allergic to burlap.
Oh my God, I'm so allergic to horses. It's a little unnecessary.
And you used to be a horse girl.
I did. Life is full of juicy twists.
But I do use reusable bags.
I do too.
But this is a lot to say in that one sentence. What's in there? Mom asked. Horseshoes. Why are you taking those? That's the secret, Mom. I can't tell you, you stupid bitch. Mom was really, really, really worried. She made a quick call to the rectory to make sure Father Richard Donaty would be there.
I almost never hear of places getting called that. I mean, I know that it is what they're called, but like,
yeah.
I don't hear it a lot.
It's only when it's like certain things. We drove the 1.5 miles
specifically
to the rectory and were met at the door by the smiling 29-year-old priest.
Excuse me.
He's 29.
I know.
Oh my. I knew I could trust him to keep my secret. Priests were supposed to be beyond salvation if they revealed a secret or something like that. That's what I thought then. That's only if they tell you in confession. They can't reveal confession unless it's like law related.
Yeah.
They can tell, like, the police if you broke the law. Like, I don't know, if someone confessed to murder while
in confession,
then the priest can be like, yeah, they did the murder. They told me.
They did the murder.
Teresa wants to be a nun, he joked. She won't tell me what it's about. Oh, he got more serious. Do we all talk together? No, I said, me alone.
Because I'm an adult.
I'm an adult, so fuck you, Mom. Go sit in the car or something. Go eat a Slim Jim. No, don't eat that. Go eat, like, a Tic Tac or something. Your thighs are too big.
But, like, the vegan ones.
It's the vegan Tic Tacs.
I don't even know if that's a thing.
Very well. Mrs. Sullivan, he indicated the living room where they served as a waiting room. Wait, the living room?
Did they go to his house?
The living room, which served... No, they're at the rectory.
Oh.
This way, he smiled, showing me to his office, but then I stopped in the doorway, turned to my mom and said, no! You wait in the car! Bad! Now, go run a lap around this whole neighborhood, like, 5 times. Thunder thighs.
I shouldn't be making fun of it, but still, it's like, oh my god. This is so unnecessary.
Father Donati sat at his desk, and I sat in a chair in front of him. Now, Teresa, what's on your mind?
These nuts.
I have to show you something. I took 3 horseshoes out of the bag and stacked them together. The ends had small bends, and I had to arrange the horseshoes with one advanced over the other one below so the rest of the structures wouldn't lie flat on top of each other.
That was such a convoluted explanation.
Say what now? Then I grabbed all 3 shoes at once by the ends and started trying to twist them. I applied more and more pressure over some 15 or so seconds, exactly that, until I did succeed in bending the horseshoes about 50 degrees.
I brought out my protractor.
I measured it. I put them down on his desk. The priest thought it had been a trick. He picked up a horseshoe and tried to bend it with all his strength. It didn't budge. He tried the other 2 with the same results. It was no trick. I had bent all 3 at once. He tried to remain calm as I waited patiently for his comment. The thought of diabolic possession had to be the first thought that came to him. Well, if she was possessed, she wouldn't be able to necessarily do that without, like, something else happening at the same time. Usually there's other some weird manifestation going on. Possession was often manifested by super strength.
Teresa, you don't know the fucking first thing about possession. Please shut the fuck up.
The thing is, the possession thing, the super strength thing usually comes in when the exorcism is going on or during certain things.
Yeah, you just can't, like, call it forth.
Yeah, you can't call forth the super strength. It comes forth when the demon feels threatened, so it's like it's a thing. He managed to say, "How did you do that? I have something from space. The government knows about it. They watch me all the time, even when I'm in the bathroom. They followed me. I saw them. When? When we came here. Mom doesn't know. She never notices. That's why she's a dumb bitch. They followed you here. Yeah. They're in the green car in the parking lot right next to your red car, sir. You drive the Mercedes-Benz, right? That's an awfully expensive car for a priest. I wonder where you get that money from, sir. I pointed in the direction of the parking lot. He got up to look out the window at the small parking lot. There was a green car out there, a 4-door sedan. Why is it always a 4-door sedan?
They
can use other cars.
No! The Ferrari would be too noticeable.
Why not just get, like, a regular, you know, Subaru or something or... Ow.
What did you do?
Nothing. Instead of driving into the parking space as everybody did, they had backed up so that the 2 men inside could watch the rectory. There was a blue car next to it similarly backed in to watch the rectory. This car had a male driver and female passenger. Can you wait here a minute, Teresa?
Yeah.
He went outside. The window was open in the heat, so I walked over to listen to whatever I might hear. When Jan Struthers saw him, she instantly got out of the blue car and quickly walked over to him. These men don't know everything. Only I do. What did Teresa say?
I'm not at liberty to say.
It's not the usual stuff. It isn't.
It's critical you tell no one. Teresa will be the first to suffer. You wouldn't want innocent blood on your hands again now, would you? Would you, sir? Would you, father? People will come after her, and then they'll come after you. And then they'll come after the rest of your congregation. Are you sure you want to lead your lambs to the slaughter, father? They'll kidnap her, kill her, or worse.
Worse.
And then they'll do the same thing to you and every single person who follows you.
Who are you?
I work for the American government.
The American government. That, you know what that sounds like in my head? When the scammers from the IRS try to call you and say that you're going to be arrested for owing tax money.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like.
I'm like, okay.
Just how many of there are you?
Hundreds. Thousands. We are many. We are legion.
Do you understand how important this is?
I think that's her saying.
Do you understand? That does not. Do you understand how important this is, Father? Do you see what would happen if this information got out? I'm beginning to. You're starting to scare the absolute shit out of me, ma'am.
Father Donati thought things over for a moment. I'll need to tell the Cardinal. The Cardinal.
Do they just call him up on the phone? Like,
why?
Teresa needs one person she can trust. I need the Cardinal's help to stay close to her wherever she is.
All right, but it goes no further than that, Father. Don't call him on the phone. Talk to him in person. We wouldn't want them to hear you. They are everywhere. They can see you. They can smell your fear.
Jan Struthers walked back to her car and he returned to his office. I'd like the Cardinal to come here and talk with you sometime. Is that all right? Sure, I said. A meeting was arranged with the Cardinal. That was fast. Mm-hmm. It was concluded that there was no diabolical possession.
Well, thank God.
Woo! Not possessed! Take a shot. I was a perfectly normal good girl. That's even funnier than the possession.
I know.
My story, confirmed by the brief visit of Jan Struthers, had to be true, no matter how amazing it was. Oh, God. I did so well in fifth grade, it was decided I'd skip the sixth grade and go straight into seventh. I would graduate from high school at 17. You see that, you dumb bitch, Mrs. Collins? I was meant for a higher grade than this. I am perfect. I am Teresa. I will crush you.
I am nothing but a perfectly normal good girl.
I will crush your head beneath my feet and feast on your organs. Part of the decision to let me skip a year was my hair.
Are you kidding me?
It started growing thick, very thick, after hell came around. I mean, you could grab a handful of my hair and feel the weight like it was wet.
What? Which hair?
Mom was sure this was a sign of my change of life and I needed to be with girls my own emotional age. She is not emotionally stable.
No, you are not emotionally the age that your body... does.
Yeah, well, I was growing up fast, but it wasn't because of hormones. I was worrying about Hal, and so were a lot of others. Jan Struthers walked by me sometimes in a store or someplace when Mom and Dad were out of sight. She asked me how things were going, and asked me, was there any news about Hal? And she also warned me about the wheat and wheat byproducts.
Yes.
I never told her about the orange spot in my eye field, or, you know, it's called field of vision.
Yeah.
Or the strength Hal gave me. They'd haul me off to some laboratory and experiment on me, probably cut me open, and maybe detach some of my limbs and then reattach them in other ungodly experiments. It sounded like a normal Tuesday night.
Yeah.
One time I asked for how many people were watching me. 400, she said.
400 people!
It takes that many people to watch somebody 24 hours a day without being noticed. It would be easier if I lived in... in an Iowa farmhouse. They could keep an eye on me from a distance.
They would literally be dressed as the corn.
Yes. They'd be dressed as the corn, deer, cows, pigs. They could keep an eye on me from a distance, but when Mom and I went into Boston, 150 watchers had to spread out to keep an eye on me. It would be just as bad when I went to high school and moved around a lot. Jan said, I suggest we just give you $10 million if you promise to stay home. They turned it down. That was unfortunate. It would be so much easier for us if you just kept your assholishness to yourself and contained within your own fucking house, you brat. They were right. I wouldn't stay home. And that's the end of chapter... That was all chapter one.
Oh my god.
That was all chapter one.
That was almost 2 hours.
Almost. So, like, it got interesting when I added my own shit into it.
It sure did.
That's what made it kind of easily fly. So, I'm probably going to end up doing a lot... We're probably going to do a lot more of that to make it more interesting. And you'll definitely know when it's us adding it in there because you know us. Right?
Hopefully, yeah, maybe. It definitely, you know...
But so far, this is definitely a very high-ranking example of men writing women.
This is a high-ranking example of awfulness.
It is, on so many levels. But thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week. And hopefully, we'll have the microphone situation sorted out, maybe.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.